The following is a presentation of Mountaintop, a church of many nations in many locations. For more information, email us at info@ccmountaintop.org.
All right, all right. Tell somebody next to you, say, I want to go to that church. Well, guess what? You're already here. Praise God. Amen. Come on, let's give God another praise. Hallelujah. He is risen. I say he is risen. One more time, he is risen. Glory be to God. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, before I go further, I want to tell you something what I love about that video. That video represents lives that are sitting right here in this body today that have been changed, have been transformed by the power of a living Savior named Jesus Christ. We have people here that had addictions. We have people here that over 40 years old, going to 50 years old, never surrendered their life to Christ. We have people here who have been homeless. Have people here have been on drugs and on alcohol, but have been set free by the power of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a praise for that. That is real. I'm not talking about perfect people. I'm talking about people like you and me who have made mistakes, who have done things that we might be ashamed of. I'm not talking about people who had it all together. They're just real, normal people like us. But we had one thing in common, and that was this. By the providence and by the grace of God, God introduced himself to us through Jesus Christ. Something happened in our heart, and we figured out that we were separated from God because of sin. And we recognize that Jesus Christ came and he gave his life as a sacrifice for us. And by faith, through grace, we received that life from him. And the Bible says that we became a new creation. I said, a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Tell somebody next to you, say, it's a new day. Matter of fact, give them a high five and say, it's a new day. Hallelujah. See, there was a time in my life that darkness ruled over me. In other words, I didn't know that I was lost. I didn't know that I was going to hell. I didn't know that there was a better life, a purpose for me. There was a time in my life that I was confused. There was a time in my life that literally I felt hopeless because of circumstances that were going on that I had no control. But through God's grace, I was introduced to a friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus, amen. And his name was Jesus. And since the age of 13, God began to do something new and fresh in my life. Yeah, it can happen to you. I don't care where you are this morning. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. You can have a new day in Jesus Christ today. Something can happen in your heart and in your spirit. I don't care what kind of marriage you have right now. I don't care if you are financially strapped. I don't care if you have a sickness or disease. God can do something new in you today. It's a new day. Come on, it's a new day, amen? It's a new day. Darkness. Yeah, I mean, we see it all around us today. Darkness. People are confused. People are confused about marriage. People are confused about their sexuality. People are confused about their purpose. People are confused about whether there's life after death. People are walking in darkness and confusion today. In darkness and confusion. Resurrection. That word is a Greek word. It's anastasis. It means a coming back to life. It means that which was dead is now breathing and living. That's what we celebrate today. And if you look through the Bible, through the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you see different stories relating to this great event. I don't believe that there is a greater event in the history of mankind besides Jesus Christ, God coming into the flesh, coming in the flesh of Christ. Besides that, there's no greater event than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if there is no resurrection, how many know we have no hope for tomorrow? We have no hope for eternity. So I want to bring your attention this morning to a story that is in the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to chapter 24 in Luke's Gospel. If you don't have your Bible, we have the scripture up on the screen. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Somebody say, it's dark, y'all. Very early in the morning. The women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, first, let me stop there. Crystal, Pastor Crystal, thank you so much for that illustration of an empty egg. I was like Pastor Tim. I was ready to get some handkerchiefs, clean you off after you crush that thing. I want you to know that we have a love for our children. Pastor Crystal is here. You can bring your children here. We have Sunday school. We have children's church. We believe in growing them in the admonition of the Lord. So, Bible says, they came to an empty tomb. They found a stone, rolled it away. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, God. We thank you, God, as even as we woke up this morning, God, we woke up to a new day with new opportunities, new hopes, new promises, Lord. Father, our heart is to be able to walk in the things that you have for us, God, as we build our relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, darkness came upon the face of the earth, so hopelessness. But God, you shined your light, the light and love of Christ, upon our lives, God. And Father, we submit ourselves to you, God. Teach us by your word, God. Transform us by the renewing of our mind that we might be able to test and approve what your will is for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Can everyone say amen? How many of you have ever been afraid of the dark? Anybody? Come on, anybody? How many of you are still afraid of the dark? Listen, I don't know about you, but when I was a little boy, I used to be afraid of the dark, especially in Southeast D.C. I don't care how many streetlights were out there, I was scared. And I'm always reminded, I've told this story a couple of times, but I love those little Johnny stories. And little Johnny, his mom called him into the kitchen, and she said, little Johnny, I want you to go in that pantry and get me a can of green beans. Little Johnny said, no, I'm not going there. It's dark in there, Mom. I'm not going. So she looked at me and she said, little Johnny, listen to me. Obey your mother. Go in that pantry and get those can of green beans. Little John said, you must be crazy. I ain't going in that dark pantry. Finally, his mom looked at him and said, well, Johnny, you know, Jesus is with you wherever you go. So Johnny thought about it. He went to the pantry. He opened the door, looked in that dark pantry, and he said, Jesus, if you're in there, will you hand me a can of green beans? Aren't you glad Jesus goes with you wherever you go? Amen. Darkness. I remember when it was mid-1980s, and I got in my car, and I began to drive to Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I was going to Allentown, Pennsylvania, because my father was just incarcerated. He was incarcerated under what they called at the time the drug kingpin law. Yeah, that was my dad, incarcerated, and he was in Pennsylvania, Allentown, Pennsylvania Penitentiary. So I'm going to visit my father about 3 hours away. And how many know this is before MapQuest, Google Maps, and all that kind of stuff, right? And so I'm going to visit, and I get to Allentown, Pennsylvania, a few hours away. And I ask for the Allentown, Pennsylvania penitentiary at a stop. And the guy at the gas station said, there's no penitentiary in Allentown. You must mean Allenwood. Have you ever been on the wrong road thinking you were going to the right place? And so I turned around, and he said it's about 3 hours that way, and I went west. And as I was traveling west, I began going into the mountains of Pennsylvania, going towards Penn State, and it started to get dark. Now, I had three problems now. Problem number one, it was dark. I didn't know where I was going. Problem number two, my gas tank was almost on E. And problem number three, there was nobody around that looked like me. I mean, that's a problem. It's dark. I'm in the mountains. So when I hear about these ladies that wake up early in the morning, Mary Magdalene and some other women, they wake up early in the morning, and they get up and they prepare themselves to go to the tomb of their friend Jesus. And as they prepared themselves, I could imagine the hopelessness that flooded their soul. I don't know of a darker place than to be in a place where there's hopelessness, where you have no hope for tomorrow. You don't even want to hardly live. And so they prepare to take this journey to this tomb. It is still dark. The horizon has not come up yet. Maybe they are looking and they still see those crosses at that hill at Golgotha, where our Lord was crucified. They're distraught. They are mourning. Tears of sadness and tears of gloom. It is the dusk before the dawn. It is the dusk before the dawn. Hopelessness. Jesus was dead and all seemed lost. They probably thought, ain't no sunshine when he's gone. Ain't no darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when he's gone. And this house is still not a home. Every time he went away. Y'all didn't know they sang like that back then, did you? All right, y'all can stop. It's a dark place. But in the midst of the darkness, the light of a new day starts shining. Glory be to God. In the midst of darkness, the light of a new day begins to dawn. Tell about somebody next to you, once again, say it's a new day. So a few things I see in this passage about this new day. The first thing is this. No stone can keep you from him. No stone can keep you from him. The Bible says on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared, went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, other women, they come to the tomb with spices to anoint that dead body. They come to the tomb ready to honor God. They had ointments, spices, but they had this huge problem. The huge problem they had was that they knew that there was a huge stone in front of that tomb that was separating them from their Lord. Let me tell you something about that stone. History would tell you that, generally speaking, these tombstones, stones that were rolled in front of the opening of a tomb, would be about 1.5 to 2 tons. That's about the size of your parents' old Chevy. Something that was very difficult to move. Besides that, another problem is that there were Roman guards at this tomb because they wanted to make sure that that body did not get out of that grave. And along with that, that grave or tomb was sealed with a Roman emblem that represented all power and authority. If you were to break that seal, you would yourself be executed, get this, crucified upside down. The Bible says that in another version that the ladies were walking to that tomb and someone said, who is going to move the stone? Not me. I'm not going to touch it. But then they get there. And the scripture says, matter of fact, in Matthew it says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb rolled back the stone and said of it. That is amazing. One single angel, one power of God came and moved the stone that would have taken many men to move it. The angel came and moved the stone from the entrance of that tomb. One of the great promises of Easter is that there is no stone too big for God to move. Whether it's a physical stone or whether it's a stone of circumstance in your life. Max Lucado writes a wonderful book, and the title of this book is that he still moves stones, that God still moves stones, where in each chapter he highlights a different Bible story and identifies the kinds of stones that separate people from God. Yeah, there are stones or things or circumstances that will separate us from God. Some past hurts or mistakes. separate us from God, but he forgets it. The stone of your health or the health of a loved one, he heals it. The stone of a strained relationship with a family member, he mends it. The stone of overwhelming problems, he solves it. The stone of indifference, he makes it right. The massive stone of your sin, the Bible says, he takes it and he casts it away into the sea of forgetfulness. How many know that nothing can separate you from the love of God? No circumstance, no situation, no stone, because he is still moving stones. See, some of you can't relate to this, but I remember when I was a little boy, when we didn't have PlayStation, Xbox, or Wii, what we would do is we had a piece of chalk, and we would draw a circle. And in that circle, we would put little stones. They were called marbles. And then we would take, I would take, the rule of the game was to take your marble and to knock other marbles out. How many know that Jesus is our marble that knocks out other stones, other circumstances, other situations? The Bible says he is the living stone. He is the cornerstone. He is the rock of ages that can move every stone. What's the stone in your life this morning? What's separating you from God, from having an intimate relationship with God? What's keeping you from giving yourself fully in surrender to God? Maybe you don't think you're good enough. Maybe you're just indifferent. Maybe it's a sin you haven't been able to let go. But nothing can separate you from the love of God. Somebody need to give God praise from that. Amen. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And so they're at this tomb. The stone has been rolled away. And the Bible says when they arrived, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning and stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He had risen." In the light of a new day, these women find that no tomb can keep him from you. No tomb can keep him from you. They had went to prepare the body of a dead man. There's only one problem. That dead man is not dead anymore. He is risen. He is now alive. He has left the grave. He has left the dead. Jesus Christ is now alive. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. It reminded me of the story in the wonderful classic called The Jungle Book. Anybody ever read that before? Anybody ever seen it on television? The Jungle Book has a character, reminds me of one of my sons. I'm not going to tell you which one, but his name is Mowgli. Mowgli is living in the jungle. And Mowgli asked a question to all his animal friends one day. And the question that Mowgli asks is this: what's the most feared thing in the jungle? He's told that when two animals meet on a narrow path, one must step aside and let the other pass. The animal that steps aside for no one would then be the most feared. So Mowgli wants to know, well, what animal is that? So one of his friends says, well, it's an elephant. Another one of his friends says, no, it's a lion. Another one says, no, it's a tiger and a bear. Finally, a wise owl speaks up and he says, the most feared thing in the jungle is death, because it steps aside for no one. How many know that's a true statement? Death faces us all. It doesn't care how old you are, how young you are, how strong you are, how financially able you are, how good looking you are. Death faces us all. And death always comes at an inconvenient time. It's like you're eating dinner and the telemarketer calls. Never convenient. And when death comes, he brings friends. He brings heart attack. He brings stroke. He brings car accident. He brings cancer, and he brings the disease to take you down. The Bible says it this way: for death is the destiny of every man. It is appointed to all men once to die, and after that, the judgment. But did you know that the judgment for the believer is different from those who don't know Christ? The judgment for the believer is what we call rewards. And if you want to know more about that, we want you to join us next week. We're starting a new series. Get it? It's called this, The Bottom of the Knife. In other words, we are living in the last days. These days are almost over. What does the future look like in heaven or in the hot place? Because the judgment of the wicked is the hot place. How many know I'm not talking about Jamaica? And so there is a judgment for those who face death without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One writer, Clarence Hall, said it this way. Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. Jesus was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of who are still living. See, death could not separate us from Christ. We used to sing it. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How many know he lives? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Come on. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Come on, choir. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Somebody praise God. Hallelujah. He lives and no grave can keep him from you. Neither death, Hades, or hell. He lives. And in the light of a new day, these women find no promise will he ever fail to do for you. The Bible says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners. He must be crucified. And on the third day, be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Son of suggests a new generation. Man suggests humanity. What this is saying is that Jesus himself represents a new generation, a new Adam, who is now sinless and made righteous and perfect before God. And those who come to him are now made righteous and perfect before God. The Son of Man who has come, the long-awaited anointed one, the Messiah, King of all heaven and earth. He did not come with sword. He did not come in a political coup. He came to give his life on a cross, to die for your sin, my sin. While you were still a sinner, God demonstrated his love for you by dying on the cross 2,000 years ago. This is that resurrected Lord. The enemy thought that he had won the battle, but Jesus rose from the grave. He stood from the grave. He walked among us. And the Bible says that he ascended to heaven. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father for all eternity, for the world to see and know that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, there's power in that name. He rose from the dead and he kept his promise to you and to me. And he's still keeping his promises today. He will never fail. Every promise of God is true, and he will perfect it in you. The key is, are you right with God? Can you receive the promises of God as Craig comes? Do you know him personally for yourself? Or have you drifted away from God? Have you ever received him in your heart as Savior, as Lord? What stone is getting in the way? Maybe it is the stone of doubt. Maybe it is the stone of just inconvenience. There is a God who loves you right where you are. There, some of us here are in a place of darkness, the darkness of desperation, the darkness of despair. You might be in the darkness of doubt, the darkness of defeat, the darkness of disease, the darkness of discouragement, the darkness of death that comes from sin. But God is the master of bringing a new horizon in your day, a hope with new opportunities, a hope with new direction and purpose. You don't have to struggle where you are. He rose from the dead that not only might he live, but that you can live through him, that you might have a great hope for tomorrow. I love that song that we sang earlier. He is able. Come on, he is able. Look at somebody, say, he is able. Come on, touch him and say, he is able. Come on, say it one more time, say, he is able. Because it's a new day. Listen, I didn't finish one story. I was in those dark mountains of Pennsylvania, and I was so glad that Jesus was with me. Amen. He was with me, and I was scared to death. But guess what? I couldn't sleep all that night. I was in that 1982 Datsun 240Z. Can I get a witness? Hatchback. And I'm sitting there in on the side of the road, longing to see my daddy. How many know that hard times happens to everybody? I couldn't sleep, and then the next thing I know, I see the sun coming up over the horizon, and something starts stirring in my soul. It's going to be all right. Tell somebody next year, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, amen. And you know what? I got up and I found the right road that led me right to my father. Let me ask you something. Have you found the right road? Or are you on a road that goes to nowhere? See, there's only one road. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is only one road to God, and it comes to Christ. Would you bow your head with me this